I had the privilege and the honor of being able to meet you guys a little while back, right? I think it was in May or something, right? I had a great time with the Living Hope campus and then the Soda campus. You have to be really hippity-dip, right? Hippity-dip-dip, skinny jeans church to be able to call your church Soda. God bless you. While the rest of us are hanging out in Living Hope, God bless you with your tight jeans. God bless you. God bless you. All right. So how about we have a good time, yeah? We're going to do a lot of teaching. We're going to do a lot of good stuff, a lot of prayer. But, you know, in the midst of it all, we're going to open our hearts. And we're going to say, God, can you do what only you can do? Bond us, unify us for the sake of the gospel. Remember, our goal is not just to bond so we cannot be lonely. Our gathering is shaped by a common mission. It's the glory of our King, our God, our Lord in our time, in our day. Amen? So we have a mission that's laced under everything we're doing. We are a people on mission. We are people with purpose. So it's not just let's hang out, let's bond, let's get tighter. So when we go back, we have some friends on the other side of the bridge that we can call friends, right? All of this is for the sake of the gospel. All of this is to propel us further into our calling. So be mindful of that. Everything we do, even things that are maybe painful for you, there will be some moments, I guarantee you. Part of it is just listening to me is painful, I know. Yes, some of you laughed. It hurt my feelings. I have feelings too. Just want you to know. It's okay. My church members, they just fall asleep on me. So I'm used to it. I'm used to it. Anyways, before I start becoming a victim up here, let's pray, yeah? How about we pray and we invite the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you right now. We know you are here. We know you love us. We know you are excited. Just like us, you are excited to minister, empower, and love on us. So we welcome you. But we also confess of our need of you, Holy Spirit. We need you. We ask you to do things that we cannot do. So Lord, it's my turn. I'll do the best I can. But I ask you, when it's your turn, can you do what only you can? Yes. Transform us by the power of your Spirit, amen, your love. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 We're going to do something. I think last time I was here, I had you guys pray in silence and kind of pause for a second. And we're going to do that again. But today we're going to do it with a psalm. We're going to do it with scripture. And I want you to read this scripture. And I want you to take a good, let's say, three some minutes in silence. And I want you to meditate on every single word from this psalm. And I want you to highlight, if you're taking notes, I want you to highlight or write down in bold, like just write it over each letter over and over again, certain words that stick out to you and maybe why it sticks out to you. I'll give you some time. Because right now, remember, I think last time I was with you guys, we talked about silence, how silence is needed to make sense of a song. Every song that you sing, there are moments where there is silence in between each note. If not, it's a crazy noise that we cannot make sense of. And so in the church, there needs to be a rhythm of worship, of proclamation, of praise, and the moments of silence where we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And it's in that moment God is going to soften your heart and open your heart. So will you join me? Let's read the Psalms. Real soon in faith, I believe it's coming. I believe it. I believe it when I see it. So how about you guys open up to Psalms 133. On your phones, if you have it, on your Bibles, if not, on the slide. I got the ESV version of this particular psalm, but you can read your version, NIV or NLT or whatnot, NASV. But Psalms 133, verse 1 to 3, go ahead and read it yourself. Just meditate on the Lord together. It should be talking about unity. If there's nothing that says unity, you're in the wrong psalm, okay? There it is. So if you guys don't have your own, you can read it on the screen. I'm going to give you one more minute. I wanted you to have a moment with Scripture yourself. Before anyone talks to you, allowing the Holy Spirit to show you something for Himself. It's important for you in your daily living to allow yourself to be marinated in God's Word like this. I will give you the word. I will teach. But I wanted you to feel that. I wanted you to also feel how uncomfortable you are. How constantly we're looking for something to be produced for us. Constantly in a production mode. God moves when we are still. Or should I say, be still and get to know God. We are not stopping long enough for Him to mold Christ-likeness in us. It happens in the ceasing. It happens in the stopping. Or Scripture has a word for it. It happens in the Sabbath. It happens in the Sabbath moments of life. Amen? So I picked this passage because our camp, our retreat, is about unity, being one, being bonded in one in Christ, and how important unity is for us in Christ. So much so, as that scripture has pointed out, we who are called to be priests, a royal priesthood, we can't even do what we're called to do without being unified. actually the anointing that we need to accomplish the task at hand, we can't even do without each other. We can't do when we're not one body. There's no way, not one of you can accomplish the will of God for your life or even for this church by yourself. You need to be absolutely attached. I did not say codependent. I did not say longing for the approval of everyone in this house. I did not say people pleasing. I said absolutely united, bonded, collaborating, in partnership, preferring one another, submitting to one another. Only when you're absolutely unified and see how amazing the other brother and sister next to you is, will you be anointed and be able to accomplish the will. Only when Living Hope sees how precious soda is, and only when soda realizes how desperately soda needs the other campus, Living Hope, will you guys be able to move in power.
Yeah.
I'll preach over here. In power. Don't be like my church. My church is so unchurched that they don't know how to respond to sermons. So they all sit like this and wait. And at the very end of the sermon, all of them, it's like they just watched an orchestra show or something. They go. And then they come up to me and they say, "Oh, Pastor, that was a great speech. That was a great speech." They call it speeches. I said, "No, fool, it's not a speech. It's a sermon." My goodness, bunch of heathens. All right. So I'm going to read my passages from Isaiah. Let's read Isaiah. Everyone say Isaiah together. Isaiah, look at, we're one already. We're united. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Is on you. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I love that he mentioned the poor, because we will preach it to everybody we like. That's another message. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. Man, we got a lot of work to do, right? Instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Oh my goodness. If we are truly moving in the anointing, when the presence of God is on us, we don't just have good news, we are good news. I tell you what, if that's true, when the anointing of God, not just on Jesus, but on his body, we know that, right? We know the New Testament, the Acts church, and we know what happens when the same Spirit now descends on his people. His people become a blessing to the world. There is a task at hand. We got a job to do. Now, if you're like me, you'll also read that and go, "Wow, that's powerful. That's glorious. Man, I want to move in that power. But Lord, that's a lot of work to do. That's a lot of important things to do, to execute in our time. Because surely there are the poor around us. Surely there are those that are in despair, that are imprisoned in many ways, not just physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And we are the ones that set captives free. This is an important job. I need the anointing of God to get on me." Very important. Yes or no? Very, very important. So what is the glory? What is the presence of God that we need so desperately? It is the oil we just mentioned. It is the presence. It is his anointing. It is his Holy Spirit. God desires to come upon us. Now, before I move on, I want to brag about you actually a little bit. I just heard from Pastor Benjamin about the glory days. And what he meant was not that you guys are not in the glory now. Yeah. Okay, some of you guys are so sensitive. Some of you guys are, I can't believe Pastor Benjamin said that glory day was in the past. I wasn't even in those glory days. I'm here now. How come when I'm here, it's not the glory day? No, stop being so sensitive. You need to chill out. And let me just tell you the story. Pastor Benjamin and I were talking. He was so proud of you. He was so proud of this church. And Pastor Sonny, we're driving up here. And they were talking about how Living Hope in the early days was marked with tremendous, powerful miracles. Some of you guys were here in those days. He was telling me about how you guys would just the power of God, the glory of God, the presence of God was so thick that people would just get saved off the streets. Do you know that this is part of your lineage? This is part of your history? You should be proud of yourselves. That you are conduits of the Holy Spirit, so open and humble enough that the Holy Spirit would entrust you with that kind of power. He would tell me that people would get just so powerful that people would get saved and they wanted to become disciples right away, that you guys would baptize them right outside your building. He would tell me about miracles from buildings to deliverances from demons. People meeting God, whole families coming to the Lord. Before I move on, I want you to know, some of you that are new here, you need to understand one of the ways that the Lord bonds you together is how you rehearse the story, or should I say the testimonies, that God has put in this house. See, you see, we have been trained to only think about us. If it didn't happen when I was here, it don't matter. If it didn't happen while I was in leadership, it don't count. No, fool. It happened. This is part of your lineage. This is part of your history. Actually, they say marriage counselors, this one guy named Dr. John Gottman, who is the foremost authority on marriage stability. He says that one of the number one signs of a good marriage that will have the signs of that will last to the end, right? Is that when the couple talks about their history, they always talk about it in a positive light. Even if it had a bunch of crap in it. Even if it was messy. John Gottman says, I know their history. We have done thorough work on their history. But when they videotape, you know how they video, like counselors or therapists, they put a couple in a room and they videotape you and you don't know you're being videotaped, right? They videotape. They notice that all the couples who end up divorcing cannot rehearse their story in a positive way. Even when it had positive moments. And then he said he noticed that the reason why so many these couples that do succeed is because when they look back, they are bonded again by how they rehearse the story of their past. This is a side note. This one's free. I will not charge you for this one. But I just want you to know this is the very reason, the very, very reason why Israel fell away from God. Is because they could not rehearse and remember the story of their deliverance well. They did not keep their Sabbath. And you're like, what do you mean Sabbath? Do you mean Sunday gatherings? Yes. Or theirs was Saturday. But their Saturday gatherings? Yes. Because it is in that time you rehearse the story of God. So before I move on, I told you this one's free. Okay? The thing that's going to bond you, the thing that's going to unite you, the thing that's going to make you hungry again and say, Lord, do it again in my time. The way you did it in Living Hope in the past. Do it again. The way you're going to stir yourself up in unified, holy prayer for revival for your cities and the nations. The way you're going to do it is how you collectively rehearse what God has done in the past. This is going to stop all your whining. This is going to stop all your complaining. And this is going to stop all your comparing. Oh, yeah. It's going to stop it all because you will be so blessed by what God did, it's going to stir up hope for what God will do for you now and tomorrow. Do you believe me? Look at that. I get a clap before the service ends. Son, I got a clap. By the way, this is my friend Sung. He's my associate. Yes. I did not do a proper introduction. Shame on me. Okay. So we got a job to do. And the Lord has come upon this church in so many ways, in so many years in the past. Did he not? Yes. Now you know. Yes, say yes. Yeah. Okay. So what happens? What is the glory? Well, the word in the scripture, the glory in Hebrew is the word kabod. The word kabod basically means weight. The weight of a person. It's kind of not, it's not always literally the weight, as in that brother weighs a lot, okay? Weight as in the heaviness of somebody's presence. Have you ever had anyone walk into the room and you're like, it just got heavy in here? It just, everyone straightens up. Everyone's like, get that foot off the, you know, couch. Somebody important is here. In Isaiah, the Spirit, it says the Spirit of God is on me. Literally, the presence of the Holy One is on me. And when that happens, miracles happen, things happen, revival happens, all the good that needs to happen happens. So when God shows up, these soda cans represent you and me. Okay, this represents Living Hope and soda, okay? Okay, literally soda. Hey, oh, literal interpretations. Okay, so look, watch this. You guys are like, there's no way those two cans representing the body of Christ in this church can withhold the weight of Pastor Brian's 120 pounds. Why are you laughing? Times two, right? There's no way. But the Lord begins to show up on the body. Look at this. Shows up on the body. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Or how about this? When two or three are gathered in my name, we can expect the glory. I mean, we should expect it. God's about to come, and we're about to do great things for his glory, right? Look at this. The key is we need to be able to withstand the pressure of his glory. You see, if we cannot, God will either lift, right? In the Old Testament, watch this, the Holy Spirit or the presence of the living God will fall upon his prophets and judges, right? Fall upon them and they will do great works. And then often they will screw it up with their lifestyle and the Holy Spirit will lift and disappear. And then they will be left as soda cans, right? Watch. And then you're like, wow, are you serious that the Lord falls upon people like that? Yes, even on individuals. And you're like, there's no way that one can withstand the weight of glory or the kabod of Brian, right? Now watch this. You're like, there's no way that one can do it. Look at this. It can. It can. God could actually fall upon an individual as well. And he has in the past. Right? Now, here's the problem. Everyone say the problem. So we need the glory. We need the presence to be able to execute and do what we were assigned to do. Okay? So that as a unified body, we can bring the glory of God into our cities and in the nations. Right? Right? That's what we need. Here's the problem. The problem is, how do we get God to stay on us and not leave us? And I'm going to read you this text to show you why this is so important. It says in John, then John gave this testimony. This is John the Baptist, guys. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven. Who is that? The kabod of God, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Here it goes. Literally, he's seeing this now. Come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Look at that word. I want you to highlight that word if you're taking notes. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord did not just come and rest upon our Lord. The Spirit remained on him. This is key, guys. In our Lord, this dove-like, you know, metaphorical moment of the Spirit coming down like a dove, there's a reason why the Scriptures mention the Spirit like a dove, because a dove is not only pure, but it's sensitive. And it's quick to flight. Unlike dumb pigeons, when you try to feed it, it just comes to you. Doesn't care about the danger, right? And many times it just gets hit by a car. If you think about it, did you know that doves cannot be trained? Dove is highly sensitive. And the moment there's anything that offends it, it leaves. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is not only powerful, he's holy. And we find that Jesus was able to do what he was called to do because the Spirit did not just visit him, the Spirit remained on him. I just gave myself chills. Let me ask you a question before we move on. How many of you guys would like visitations or a dwelling? Yeah. What is God going to find when he visits again? Visits again. Does he come upon your church and go, boom, let's move in power. And then, oh, I'm offended. Something happened. I'm offended. And he lifts. What we need in the next stage of Living Hope churches is this. We don't want visitations, Lord. We want you to remain here. We need you to remain in us. We need you to remain on me. Come on, somebody. We need you to remain. And we need you to show us what is happening in us here that's making you, if ever, offended to leave. Because we have a task at hand. We need to deliver the prisoners free from prisons, right? Yeah. We got things to do. We got people to take out of darkness. Lord, in order for us to do that, we need not just a visitation. We need a remaining. Yeah. And we need it on all of us. Not just a few of us, not just some of us here that are anointed, that are seasoned members, that are the Shambhala groups, right? Oh, I don't know. Those people in our church are the Shambhala groups. There's like people in our church right now that are being known as the Shambhala group because they're always praying in tongues. They're like, oh, that's the Shambhala group in our church. No, every one of us needs to be Shambhala. You're like, that's not me. The Lord never asked you. You're a conduit. You're a vessel. Yeah. When the power of God hits you, you probably will not be able to control it either. Yeah. So it's not about how we look. It's about who we are carrying, who we need to be carrying. Yeah. So from this point on, I don't care if you're new. Well, I do care. If you're new and just checking it out, check it out. You need to check it out. God bless you. Check out these churches. It's beautiful, right? But if you are a member, let me say it that way. If you consider this church to be your church, you can no longer be passive. You can no longer sit on the side and go, as long as my pastors, as long as the Robinsons are anointed and the Lord remains on them, hallelujah, I'm going to keep coming out to this church. I tell my church this. Again, this one's free, okay? This one's side. I tell my church this. Nobody in our church that is an adult and a member can ever be excused for being passive. Every one of you needs to serve. Every one of you needs to be asking God to dwell in them and on them. Because I tell them, it's not just about responsibility. It has to do with unity. We cannot move forward without you. So stop being selfish or lazy or self-doubting. You need to start playing the game. You need to get in the field. Amen? And here's why. Do you agree? Here's why.
You're like, no one's going to know. Nobody's going to know. Because I see the Lord come upon him. I see the Lord, you know, come upon her. And as long as I look the part, I will be fine. As long as I'm a good attendee, I show up. I even show up to all the prayer meetings. But my private life, my inner life, constantly offends the Spirit. And you're like, it's okay because I have seen the Lord come upon the body. Woo, come upon the body. Woo, every Sunday, the Lord seems to come upon the body. But for the task at hand, he has to come upon all of you. Do you hear me? If you don't believe me, read the Old Testament. How God literally left Israel over one man's sin. His name was Achan. Study that. I don't have time for that. But study that. Okay? So you're like, look it. Everybody sees me. I am like everybody else, full of the Spirit of God. God can dwell on me. Are you watching? Are you watching? Say yeah. And then God comes upon you. None of you knew that this was empty. Right? Right? The only way we can tell is when the glory came. Whoa! So you can fool everyone. You can fool everyone. I'm just like everyone else here. When everyone says hallelujah, I say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When everyone starts praying in tongues, I'm praying in tongues, la 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 la, right? Everyone's jumping now. This is living now. Oh, we're jumping right now. We're jumping now, right? But when the glory comes, the Spirit gets offended and leaves. You don't believe me. The Spirit wants to come upon this body. And what happens when he starts coming upon? He stumbles and goes, oh, I'm sorry. You guys did not really want me. You guys don't all want me. So, sure, I'll come upon some of you here and there, time to time. But the thing that this whole body needs together is what? The Lord to come upon all of you. Why? 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 Are you ready? It's actually part of the sermon, okay? Some of you guys are like, that brother is thirsty. Do you know why? Say why. Ask me why. Because the world deserves to taste and see that God is good. The world around you deserves to get a taste of God, and the only way they're going to want to open you up and get a taste of what's inside you is when he was upon you. When he's on you, he will attract the world to you. And when they come to you, you will be able to give the hope and the glory that's in you. So here's the question then. The problem is, why does it always leak? Why are we constantly leaking out? 2 Timothy says it like this, and this, we're about to get real now, so I need you to press in with me and humble yourself with me, because I'm going to show you why you leak. 2 Timothy says it this way, and there will be times in the last days people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Why do we leak? Why are we constantly leaking? Yeah. Which then in turn offends the Spirit. And so the Spirit cannot remain and leaves. We know now it is the thing in us that we are refusing to get rid of that are beginning to pierce holes in us that makes us leak out. So then as it leaks out, watch this, the Spirit sees the things coming out and begins to lift away. And I want to show you now, out of the things that we just talked about that may be in us, that makes us basically lack integrity or substance. Yeah. Okay? I want to show you one of the things that offends the Holy Spirit so much that the Spirit actually grieves. The Spirit actually grieves, actually gets hurt, actually gets moved emotionally by us so much that the Spirit, did you know that you're so loved by God that you can grieve God? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. That we matter in how we live and behave as His children. We matter so much to Him that it actually can grieve Him. Yeah. To the point where He will actually have to step back. And I want to show you how that happens. Ephesians 4 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know what offends the Spirit and grieves the Spirit? I can't believe this is how they are treating each other. The lack of true humility and unity is what really bothers the Spirit. Does this make sense to you? The Lord wants to come upon you, but the Spirit looks at how we treat each other and says, my goodness, if you really were grateful for what the Son did on that cross, and you are all redeemed together by the blood of the Lamb, and you are all made one into one family because of what the Son did on that precious cross, how then can you treat each other with such disrespect, with such dishonor? How can you look down on the other? All of this, by the way, bubbles up from inside us and comes out from our mouth. And when he hears it, he goes, oh my God, I'm so grieved. So, do you want the Holy Spirit to remain on you? Yes. Yeah, you need it. Do you want Him not just to fill you, but to dwell in you? Yeah. What is it going to take? It's not just holiness or I got to get right with God in terms of purity and all that. Those things are good. Those things, of course, that's a given. We need to all pursue righteousness and holiness, right? And purity and all of that. But one of the things that's highlighted here is it's not just personal integrity. It's not just personal holiness. If that's what brought revival and redemption to our world, then we should all just go off into our own little monastery caves and just be holy by ourselves. And our little holiness with God will bring about the much needed freedom that our world needs. Nope. God has always planned to bring his redemptive purposes through the body of Christ, through what's called a new living holy colony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The colony of the redeemed.
Yeah.
And when the body begins to treat each other the way the world does, it begins to tell the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
we on the outside look like those who have embraced the forgiveness and the sacrifice on the cross, but on the inside, we have truly still bought in to the ways of the world. So really, we look like the people of God, but we act like the world. How do we know? How we treat each other. Who gets the preferred seat in the house? Who is not valued in the body of Christ? How come we cannot forgive and easily look over offenses like Scripture teaches us? Why do we hold on to things so much in the body? We literally live like the world, but act like the people of God and expect things of the people of God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The people of God deserve you to remain on us, Lord. Why aren't you remaining on us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's all revealed in how we talk. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. That's a very pleasant passage. I read those kind of passages and go, next. Next chapter, Lord. Next chapter, Lord. The tongue is a flame of fire. The tongue, I tell you this, church, and honestly, I'm not trying to start the camp off in this heavy note. But as I was praying for you guys, we have some great works to do at this camp. We got some good things to establish. But before we plant, we need to uproot something. And so the word I kept getting was we need to start uprooting cancerous cells and start planting new life. And so we need this church to move forward in the new destiny, in this new chapter that you guys have. We need to all now begin to watch this thing right here, because the glory is coming again and again. The glory was here last week. The glory, I understand. The glory is coming, has stayed, is coming. So the Lord is going to come, more revival, more things, more moments that you're going to be able to look back and go, those glory days, even now, it's going to be someday a glory day. But it cannot go like this. Remember that moment and then that season? Oh, yeah. Remember that moment? And then that was a funky season. Remember that season? And then the enemy came and totally tore us down. And then remember that season?
Yeah.
It has to go glory to glory to glory to glory. The enemy came and tried to do something, and then God's glory came. And then God's glory remained. And then remained.
Yeah. That's good.
And then people will ask this church, how were you able to sustain that?
Wow. Yeah.
And you will say, oh, I have a little secret. Well, what is your secret? Is it something big? Is it something so cool and crazy? And you'll say, no, it's actually something very, very small. And they'll be like, why are you pointing at your face? And you'll say, no, 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 our whole house decided to watch our tongue.
I don't like this message, Pastor Brian. I like a messages that inspire me, that inspire me and tell me that I'm going to be a history maker and I'm going to be somebody really amazing. I'm going to be something really cool for the nations.
You want to speak to the nations? Learn to be quiet now. You want to go and do crazy things for God? Learn to still yourself and shut this down. But the way you're going to shut this down is you're going to have to recalibrate how you see each other. Everybody in this church to you should seem like a hero to you. Should seem like the most valuable person you've ever met. And I'm not just talking about the ones that can offer you something. I'm not just talking about the ones that have something to give you or mentor you with or whatever. You know? Some spiritual nugget they're going to just pass down to you. Oh, when I meet with that person, oh, I get so much spiritual nuggets. No. I'm talking about every single person, the poor, the rich, the young and the old. Scripture teaches us to prefer one another, to see each other as better than ourselves. Isn't that crazy? We have been trained to become better than everyone else. And then we enter this kingdom and Jesus, God teaches us, no, you need to begin to see everybody as better than yourselves. You know what that means? As somebody more important than you. The reason why we're so quick to slander and talk and bring division to the body and grieve the spirit and then the spirit leaves is because we don't think of others more highly than ourselves. You have to start seeing people through the eyes of Christ. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. You know, as we, I'm going to land this plane real soon, okay? But, you know, a while ago, I think our church Echo was about, gosh, maybe 2-3 years old. And we started with about 8 people in our apartment in Fullerton, California. And we had revival. We grew to 15 people. So I am a bona fide revivalist, because from 8 to 15, that's a jump. And then from 15, we hit, I think about 40. And then I was like, dude, I should be consulting churches. Like, seriously, we went from 8 to 40. But then watch this. In our third year or second or third year, we like plateaued. And I'm not saying numerical growth is the only sign of something good. But how many of you guys know all living things grow? So it was a sign of life in our church that we were growing. And then we plateaued. And we were about 40 for a long season. And so again, I wasn't that bothered in the beginning. I was like, hey, we're revivalists. 8 to 40? I'm not going to hang my head low, right? I'm like, dude, you know, I didn't know how to church plan, I didn't know anything. So I was like, yeah, Lord, you're with us. And so I was happy. I was preaching with fire every Sunday to 40 people. Yeah, right? And then I started talking about the holiness of our tongue. And I'll tell you what, the 40 people began to look kind of nervous. They were like, not giving me eye contact. And I was like, what's going on? Am I not dressed well? Are these pants not tight enough? Like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, am I not hipster dipster enough? What's going on? And they would just be like, kind of like, you know, they're like looking, they're like this. And I'm like, what? And then we went again. And I think we were in the, at that time, we were in the book of Exodus. I do one book sometimes every 2 years. Like, so we were in the book of Exodus for 2 years. And how many of you guys know
Israel be complaining a lot. And so I had all these sermons, Pastor Benjamin and Sonny, about complaining, criticizing, and gossiping. So, because that's what the text was. So I was just being faithful to the text. Not at all, like, in the know of anything in the congregation. I just kept talking about it because what the scripture was talking about. So I just said, and then we're going to control this, and then we're going to stop it, and we're going to be a people of holiness and atonement. And every Sunday, they're just uncomfortable. I don't like these chapters. I don't like these chapters, Pastor Brian. And I was like, what is going on? And then one Sunday, are you ready for this? One Sunday, remember, the Spirit grieves and lifts. We're at 40 for a long time. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Put two and two together, yeah? Are you ready? Yeah. Right after service, one Sunday, this woman walks up to me and goes, Pastor Brian, I'd like to talk to you. But I'd like to talk to you in the other room. And can you just wait there? Because I'm going to be there real soon. And I was like, okay. Well, we had a small building, right, at the time. I mean, like, our whole church was about this building size. And so I just went off to the corner to another room. And I was like, cool. Like, I'm going to have a pastoral moment. This is what pastors do. We have pastoral moments with people, right? And I thought it was a great, you know, oh, it's going to be a pastoral moment that, you know, that's going to be lovely. So, yeah, exactly. And so, so I'm waiting there. And then next thing you know, I see her and a whole group of people walk behind her. And I'm like, what's going on? Right? And so she walks up and she comes. Now, what's crazy is they didn't know why they came either. So she grabbed all these individuals and said, can you guys just come with me? Brought them to the room. And I'm standing there. She's standing here, and a whole group of them are behind her. And so I'm getting nervous. I'm like, well, what's this about? Yeah. Right? Are you guys going to fire me? Am I not doing a good job? Like, what's going on? And she begins to weep. Bah, like sobbing. I'm talking about like the sobbing cry. And so all of us, there's a hush in the room because we're like, something's going on. And she says to me, Pastor Brian, I am that person you've been talking about. I talk behind your back. And it's done in such a subtle way that it looks like it's more about how to help this church. But I know I'm criticizing you. And I'm comparing you to my former pastors. Wow. And then she turns around and goes, and I've done it with all of them. And so all of them were like, oh! They were like, oh, crap! I didn't know this was what this was supposed to be like. Oh, my God! And they got caught. They got caught. And then so they were like, they had two choices, right? They were like, either they were going to deny it or they were going to humble themselves too. So all of them started crying. Ah! They were like, ah! We did it too. It was us too. Ah! Right? That's called voluntold repentance, right? She voluntold them. You know? And so they're crying, ah! And I'm standing there. Now I have two roads too. One is offense, right? Which leads to anger, which leads to control. Because now I'm going to control, I'm now going to keep an eye on all of them, right? And make sure that not one of them become leaders in our church. That's one road. The other road is complete forgiveness, restoration of relationship, bring them up to leadership, so that we can have the Lord come upon us.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Every single one of them are leaders in our church now.
Wow.
Why? And then, remember the 40, the number 40? We busted through. After that season, we jumped to 70. Then we jumped to 120. We were so packed in our warehouse that there people would sit all over the floor and wait all the way outside to the parking lot. And they would stand outside in the parking lot listening. The glory came and stayed. Because the people began to deal with this. Yeah. So, now this is where you got to be just as brave now, okay? We need to go there, church.
Yeah.
We're about to do some surgery. And you're like, well, it might not be me. I don't deal with that. It don't matter. Even if it's one person can mess with the glory. We need the whole house unified.
Yeah.
That's like someone telling me, are you okay? I have four kids. Are you okay if only three survive in life?
Mm-hmm.
No. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I want all four of them alive.
Yeah, right?
It's not enough that 99% of you control this. 100% of you need to come align with God.
Yeah.
So that the glory will come and remain. I'm just going to preach on this side. I'm getting a lot of feedback on this side. Thank you, Pastor Krista. You're using this well. You're using this well. Okay. So are you ready, guys? Say yeah.
Yeah.
Are you comparing your tribe? Are you critiquing people or leaders? Are you complaining about your small group? Are you coveting other tribes? Are you disqualifying people in your mind? And another one that I think you guys might need to know this, but slander and talk is not just about others in the body, it's also about you. And what I mean by that is, are you slandering yourself? Do you critique yourself? Do you disqualify yourself? Do you dismiss yourself? It's not just how you see others, it's also you. You need to stop all of it. Both what's being projected and what's being projected. So we can have... we can have a nice little camp. We can have, you know, what is that? Like most camps, they, it's usually, when I was growing up, it's usually first night is the primer. And then the mornings don't really count. Right? Like the pastor does some teaching and everyone's like, it's okay, it's going to get good tonight, right? Right? And then the last night is glory. Yeah, that's not God. Because the first time people met Jesus, it was glory. Jesus didn't go, hey, I just want you to know, tomorrow night, I'm going to bring the house down. But tonight, I'm going to give you a little primer. I'm just going to make your skin better. But tomorrow, I'm going to heal you of your blindness. No, 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 no. We can do real work with the Lord tonight. Amen? And then the rest of the camp, we can do some planting. We can do some edifying. We can do some more imagining together. Right? But tonight, we really need to uproot this. I really hope you guys understand where I'm coming from. I'm talking to you as a pastor who wants the best for you. You see, the glory days is not over. It's coming again. If it hasn't already, it's coming again. But the Lord desires to come and stay. So, I'll end with this. There's a parable, there's a story about a pastor who found out that a kid began to go around his little village and begin to talk and gossip and slander him and began to say things that, you know, some were half-truth, some were false. But it was the kid's image of that pastor that drove him to want to talk about this with somebody. And so the kid went around to this neighborhood and kind of talked like, you know, that pastor, like, sometimes I wonder how he handles money. And then the kid went over to this street and started talking about, you know, one time I saw pastor have a counseling meeting with a woman and he closed the door. Just enough to get people thinking. And then over here, he went to another town and had a prayer meeting and said, you know, I like to request a prayer from my pastor because I feel like, you know, I feel like he's not healthy and he's like, he's not like, you know, all there. And I'm doing this because I love him. I'm doing this because I want the best for him and the church. And so I just kind of feel like, because I saw him the other day, and I saw him in the at midnight at Del Taco, and I'm talking from my own life, because sometimes I sneak out at night and eat Del Taco, and I have a bad addiction. And so, and I saw him at Del Taco in the middle of the night, and he was like, I saw him eating a lot of burritos, and I just want to say that the reason why I'm saying this is not to embarrass him, but I just feel like a pastor should be integrous, like his body should be just as healthy as his soul. And then everyone's like, "Oh, we should pray for that. Yeah, we need to pray for pastor." And then he comes over here and does the same. You know, the church is great, but you know, I don't know if I really agree with the policy of how leaders are chosen. I just feel like there's better ways to do it. And I know they mean well, but can we just pray about that in our group? And so the pastor hears about this. And the pastor calls the boy and says, "Hey, let's talk, you know?" And the boy comes and he goes, "But before I have this conversation with you, I want to take you up a hill. I want to take you up to the highest hill in our village that overlooks the entire village." And the boy's like, "Okay, cool." So they go up to the highest point. And he says, "You do know that I heard about all the things you said. Now, I'd like to talk to you about all of it." And so he began to explain. And the boy began to listen. And almost every issue he had, the pastor was able to bring peace and really silence his anxiety. Because that's where a lot of our issues come from. It comes from anxiety. It doesn't come from an evil heart, right? We feel unsafe or we feel like we're not cared for correctly or something. It's usually from that anxiety. And so his anxiety begins to lessen. And then all of a sudden he begins to feel bad. Like, "Dude, pastor, I just slandered you." And so he says, "Yes." And so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to show you what gossip or what our tongues actually do. And so on top of that hill, it's really windy. It's really windy on top of that hill. And he goes, he takes a pillow. And he takes the feathers. And he says, "You know what gossip is like? They're like feathers blown into the wind of this village." I want you to see how messy our words get. And he tells the kid, do you see all the feathers that are now flying all over this town? And the boy's like, yeah. He goes, these are your words. I want you to go and take back every word you said. And he said, Pastor, that's impossible. And then you know what the pastor said? So it is with our words. It's so easy to let out, but it's so hard to retrieve. When I did this with my church, if I can have somebody maybe lead us in worship. I'm so sorry. This shows that you have this problem a lot. No, just kidding. You know, in all seriousness, when I did this with our church, I invited the church into a time of repentance. And what I asked the church to do was actually get up and in quietness walk around and pick the feathers. And as they picked it, I asked them to ask the Holy Spirit, have I ever grieved you? Even with good intentions, have I done anything to grieve you that will make you lift the anointing off our church? Because I see now how important I am to this body and how powerful my words are. Even though they look like just light feathers, it creates a mess. Or I'll give you a biblical term. It creates disunity. And where this church needs to go next, we need to secure that this never happens. Because the glory needs to come and remain. Let's close our eyes. Before we go into a time of repentance, I want you to right now just begin to pray. Ask the Lord. Come, Lord. Show me. Show me, Lord. Some of you may be new to this church, and this may apply to whatever happened in the church that you went to before. You know, God still sees that. And God needs a repentant heart. We cannot let that spread here. Yes, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit.